Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today, and I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about labor in America, the place of hard work and craftsmanship in human development. A fair day's work for a fair day's pay, right livelihood. We will look at the economy nationally and globally. We will discuss the importance of a resource-based economy to bring humanity back to balance. Listen in as Swami explains how the simple solution of getting the light in your soul will empower you to become the local change to affect the global cause. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance. Get the light in your soul and experience the union with the divine. So, Swami, first I thought what I would do is just maybe talk about our holiday, the Labor Day as it's celebrated here in the United States. And it was actually celebrated first on September 5th, 1883. And from what I understand, it was celebrated to be the working man's holiday, and it was derived by one of the unions, the Central Labor Union, and then they had in turn tried to get all the other unions in the United States to kind of follow suit. That's pretty much how that the Labor Day holiday had actually started. So, but let's turn it around and talk about how do we celebrate Labor Day Kriya Yoga style.
Yeah, the Kriya Yoga style would be a little bit different possibly, but the thing that I like to do is I really like to open up maybe the word labor and look at some of the various uses of the word with regard to understanding maybe a broader sense or even the myth of Labor Day itself, that labor, has a lot to do with hard work and skilled craftsmanship. And it also makes reference to a class of people. And that kind of opens it up a little bit, the whole thing of the blue-collar class of America, which makes a distinction with regard to choices that people make. And then also there's the whole thing of the use of the word labor with regard to birth. And say, for example, the whole thing of things like the labors of Hercules, that in my opinion are, this is more the labor that one goes through in rebirthing their body into a different source of sustenance. It is the whole thing of what we call apotheosis, this process of the human becoming divine. And it requires this changing of your source of sustenance. And the simple fact that it isn't something that happens to you automatically. It's something that you have to make happen consciously and willfully. And actually, you have to be taught how to do it from those who can do it. And I think this is more the labor that we try and associate with regard to Kriya Yoga.
I think it's interesting that in our summary before the show, you know, we talked about that, you know, like you said, it's hard work. And so is this process of transformation. I mean, it is. It's. I think it's a hard work for most people. It may not come really very easy for people to make these changes that are necessary to create this union with the divine.
Oh, absolutely, and that's why Kriya Yoga is a path of action, things that we can and we must do. It's also a path of knowledge, things that we have to know, and it's a path of devotion. So dedication, determination to your practice and your process is an essential part of growing psychologically and spiritually. And you're right, it's not something that is easy and happens to us.
So on the labor that we face today, and I guess I'm talking outside of Kriya Yoga, like actual labor in the workforce, seems so different now than it was back in 1883. I mean, now we have, you know, retailers, and we have, you know, technology is so different, and not much in the way of skilled labor anymore as what was meant for with the purpose of the unions. It was to keep everybody safe and keep these skilled laborers protected. So how is it that when we say what surrounds us is within us, how is it that that's going to be different for us globally now or nationally?
Well, from my perspective, you know, being is that I am a New York City retired steamfitter, but the unions are very much alive and at work in this country, and it's a big part of how we keep this country going is through the unions. And though I think they have adapted themselves to technology and all of that stuff, I think that was a big part of the union I belong to, is that they had to really update themselves to using things like computers in your work and computerized technology with regard to processes of different things. Even say, for example, like welding. A lot of times now they use machines to do the welding that we used to do by hand. And that's something that I think is all part of an evolutionary process on that level. But the union itself seems to be, you know, quite strong and very much alive.
I guess when people think about the labor unions, I guess it's very mixed emotions about them. You know, I think there was that movie Norma Rae, I think with Sally Field, is the one that comes to my mind, where in this particular instance, they really needed to have a labor union to protect the workforce. And I think a lot of people don't realize that the unions can actually be, I think I've actually said this to you one time about your union, is that it's like neighbors helping neighbors. It's like they really stand up for each other, and they really, once you become a member of the union, it's you have a whole force of people that are behind you to assist you in whatever it is that you need to have done. And isn't that what we want to do here with Kriya Yoga? And we want to try to get people on their path of the spiritual development and then help people along their way.
Yeah, very similar concept. You know, it comes back to the 100 monkey theory. Mm-hmm. But there is strength in numbers. And the more that you have with regard to behind you, say, for example, with a union, then Sometimes that has been abused. I can honestly say that I've seen incidences where the union would actually protect someone that wasn't deserving of protection. And I think a lot of that comes with experience and education, and so that you don't tip the scales too much, that it's a give and take, and that there was a time when it almost seemed like the unions were out to break management, when in fact they now realize that it's management that provides them with the jobs and the resources in order to be able to sustain. So it becomes a much more harmonious relationship, mm-hmm. than rather than us against them. It's we're working together. And I think that's the direction that the unions have actually taken, as to try and create that harmony and balance. Because if you don't have the unions, then there is always the possibility that, you know, employers could take advantage of you, mm. and people aren't getting a fair day's pay for a fair day's work, and then of course it gets a little lopsided, and I think that's what the unions were designed to do, is to maybe make it a little fairer, a little bit more balanced.
Well, can we still be spiritual and still long for, you know, better pay and all these benefits from what the unions provide, and maybe not just union, just maybe a workplace in general? I mean, speaking from experience as a manager in a high volume retail specialty store, it was very difficult to find people who wanted to work 40 hours a week and get, you know, X amount of dollars per hour. And especially younger people, it was really difficult to get them to understand that, yes, we need you to show up on time in order for you to collect your paycheck, and we need you to be a certain level of productivity. It just seems like there's maybe a disconnect sometimes with this generation of the workforce.
Well, to go back to your original question, I mean, can we be spiritual and also go to work, kind of a thing? I think a big part of that is being able to understand the difference between what we call a resource-based economy and your monetary-based economy. And I think Jesus hit on this when he said that we render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and we render to God the things that are God's. That your sense of self really should not be totally contingent upon your career or your choice of employment. That if you have a resource-based economy, that your sense of self is totally established in the forces that are more subtle and more readily available. So that you don't, on many different levels, you don't need a job. A job now becomes a want. But if you don't have a job, you're not going to die. If you don't have your next breath, you only have a couple of minutes to live. So having that sense of importance surrounding the things that are really important to us, and giving the things that are really important to us the responsibility of my sense of well-being, then it allows you to step into the workforce with more objectivity, more detachment, less emotionality. Mm-hmm. And from that vantage point, I think we work better. We perform better.
Well, I think what we'll do, we'll get back to that, but we're going to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So, listeners, we'll be back in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, getting back to what you had just said, that, you know, if we don't work, we're not going to die, this reminded me of a gentleman that I see around town. I think he's a homeless gentleman, and I've seen him all summer long, and he walks up and down the sidewalk. He's got a shopping cart. As a matter of fact, I saw him yesterday, and he's got American flags, like, stuck in his cart, and so when you said that, I was thinking, well, obviously he's probably not working, and he's not dying, but then again, he does have to have, you know, basic human needs, I would imagine, you know, a place to sleep, you know, he's got to eat. So then I think it gets to this point where he may be in a position to be more spiritual than somebody who has all these other things in place.
Well, he may also be in a position to be way more appreciative of things, you know, that when things become less abundant, when things are rare and you're not exposed to a lot of food, you're not exposed to any shelter, then anything that you can get becomes, you know, something that you're grateful for. Can be. I mean, I have seen also people that are very bitter and angry. And it isn't really a conscious choice that they make to be homeless. And so as a result, there's the whole thing can be quite loaded. But then there are some, like you say, who just kind of relax into it. And again, if you have this resource-based economy, it doesn't negate what's going on, but it gives you something you can turn to for validation, something that you can turn to that okay, I don't have all of these things that maybe at one time I did have, but the forces that are really important to me are still intact. And so when you're turning to that as a symbol for validation, it gives you objectivity. It gives you a handle so you can neutralize a lot of the anger that may surround your situation. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully create a plan for yourself. Start using your conscious mind and maybe try and figure out how can I start up again? How can I find solution to my situation, and from that platform, I think you've got a better chance. And then again, like I say, I mean, you don't know what it's like if you are accustomed to having things, and then all of a sudden something happens, and for some of these people, it's things that they weren't planning on, and it's things that. You can't plan for, and all of a sudden when it does happen and it puts you in a position where now all of a sudden you're kind of out on the street, so to speak. But like if you look at places like India, I mean, that's actually something that people do consciously and willfully, that they actually renounce the world and then they put all of their attention and their belief in this thing called God. And then they go out and just let the world provide for them. Mm-hmm. But again, it's a lot of it has to do with my level of consciousness, my degree of awareness. It's where am I in my development?
Yeah, and who are we to say that this is the right way to live and this is the wrong way to live? Or, you know, like you said, it just depends on your level of awareness and your place on your own transformation.
Yeah, and it's basically it comes down to our own karma. That these are things that, like we always say, if it isn't conscious, it's going to be unconscious or karmic. And sometimes situations like this are very karmic. That it's something that you can't really say that, you know, I know why this is happening to me from things I've done in this lifetime, but all of a sudden you're kind of blindsided from something that you bring in from a previous incarnation, that all of a sudden it's like the bill is due, and here you are. And again, I think if you have this resource-based economy, it doesn't negate what's going on, but it helps you get a handle on it. It helps make it a little bit smaller. And then hopefully, when you have enough objectivity, then you start using your mental functions and create a plan for yourself.
We had talked, I believe the last time we had done this program, this particular topic, we had discussed about the labors of Hercules, and you were talking about earlier that, you know, hard work can get us so many different things. So let's talk about the labor that Hercules had to do. And obviously he had to try to figure things out, and he had to work through these tests, if you will. So how does that relate to what we're talking about?
Well, I think anything under the sun has a myth. There is something that this central theme, this universal theme that underlies everything that goes on collectively, individually. And so the labors of Hercules are really a myth that one goes through when they are rebirthing their body in the divine. The transition that one goes from when they're going from being a human that seeks things that are visible and tangible to a human that now will seek things that are invisible and intangible. And one of the things that we have learned is that you can't just do this intellectually, that you actually have to rebirth your body in it. You have to change the pattern of your body. We have to change neurological pathways. We have to change the reward circuits in our brains so that we're not searching for things visible and tangible, that we're actually looking for this invisible, intangible source of sustenance. And one of the things that you learn when you're reading the labors of Hercules is that it isn't easy. And again, that you're going to need action, knowledge, and devotion. But if you've ever looked at any of, say, for example, some of the skilled trades that are out there, then also you'll also find that that's not easy either. And when I think back of all the things I had to learn in order to become a steam fitter by trade was actually very beneficial for me. And one of the things I always try and talk about is that the whole concept of learning how to weld, which is basically just a tool of the trade of a steam fitter, and all of the different processes that are out there, and yet on a very simplistic level, the whole concept of fusion of metal, which for me is identical to the whole concept of fusion of consciousness, and that to take two pieces of metal and put them together in a flawless bond required a tremendous amount of knowledge and skill. And that was one of the things that I learned with regard to the practice of Kriya Yoga, that again, it's a path of action, it's a path of knowledge, it's a path of devotion. And creation is really not going to reveal its secrets to an unworthy opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard work and it's skill, it's knowledge and devotion that we have to undertake.
Well, while you were talking, I came up with a question I wanted to ask you. Now, I'm sure when you were learning to become a steam fitter that you just didn't walk into the job site one day and you picked up your welding equipment and you knew how to weld. You probably had some teachers along the way. So wouldn't that be the same in trying to go through this transformation of a human becoming divine, that we may need to have teachers along the way to show us how it is to be done?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the other thing, if I really think back about it, it's the endless hours that you spend welding that actually make the difference. So just having a teacher, on some extent, is okay. But you also have to be totally engaged in your level of interest about wanting to learn fusion of metal. And when it becomes a passion for you, it's very different than for those people that welding is just a tool of the trade kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of it has to do with what your level of interest is. I mean, am I idly curious? Am I casually interested? Or am I a serious seeker?
Mm-hmm.
And serious seekers, I mean, they recognize that, yeah, you need a teacher, but you also need to learn whatever it is that you're undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things that is of the utmost importance if you want to take a yoga practice to this level of accomplishment.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that you need to have, or you need to find somebody that you can resonate with to help you get through maybe the stumbling blocks of taking, you know, yoga off of the mat and applying it to your daily life, which is why I think the theory two classes that we have scheduled on Thursday are so beneficial, because we can talk about those types of things, and it comes down to that saying too that I like, that it takes a village. You know, it takes, you know, a strong teacher, somebody who can show you the path, and other initiates who may be going through the same thing, that like I said, there's strength in numbers.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And having a sense of community where you can bounce your experiences off other people who are undergoing similar experiences and getting different perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's about that time. We do have to start closing down the program. So I would like to invite your listeners out there to visit the website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter and, of course, on Facebook. And the website address is www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're there, you can post comments about this show or any ideas for shows that you may want us to consider. But keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. And be sure you email me at lisa@ipdtransform.com with any questions you would like Swami to answer. So, Swami, any final thoughts about today's show or what we're going to talk about next week?
Well, I would like to wish everybody a great day. And next week, I'm not going to... I think was it something to do with peace?
International Peace Day
or whatever that we might talk about. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to the program, Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.